You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. My name is Joel Clayfish. I have the honor, the privilege of hosting this fantastic show along with my sidekick, the sliding turkey talking Danielle Fairman, the host
slide right
of
in those
the
state, DMs.
Miss Wisconsin. Hey, you know what?
Miss Wisconsin?
If I could slide into turkey's DMs, I'm about ready to do it. Boy, oh boy. I am so excited about this show. Danielle Fairman joins me. You know, we've been together in the great outdoors for better part of 2 decades, hunting, fishing, loving every minute of it. And the exciting thing is now we get to do a radio show that is all about taking the great things of the state of Wisconsin and bringing them to the people of Wisconsin.
Sure do. And we get to include
hunting,
everybody else
fishing,
into this.
Hiking. Sideways banana.
Yes. That's your favorite thing ever.
If you don't
sideways
know
bananas.
And yeah, I can't stop.
Also known as kayaking.
I'm a bull in a small china shop when I go inside of a kayak. You want to talk about a top-heavy revolution. That's what's going on there. I get in, it's top-heavy, and there's a revolution and ends up with me on the bottom of the lake.
Well, I've gained like 10 pounds after eating Chef Lawrence's
you know
food.
What?
Okay, relax.
I was just going to get to that.
Everyone
must be in bikini season. Now I have to buy a bikini sting.
Buy a bigger bikini. Who cares?
I've never been a fan of wearing a bikini myself.
No?
I have a lifeguard and a Speedo. So I was a lifeguard at Horror Pool in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And I tell you what, we had to wear Speedos for the first couple of years that I was a lifeguard there. And that, for folks listening, that's not pretty under any circumstances. A bunch of male lifeguards in Speedos. And then there was a guy named, well, I should probably not say his name, but it rhymed with Tim Hopper. And Tim Hopper wore a Speedo. And Tim Hopper was a larger man. He was a larger man.
Okay.
And there was a point at which...
Did he own it?
Well, let me just say there was a point at which you couldn't see the Speedo. Because Tim was
Fun.
He was a little, he liked his Wisconsin food and culinary, and you couldn't see the Speedo.
That happens to me when I wear my Speedo.
And oh, boy, that's an off-limits right there. But there were points at which, and it was very odd, because that summer there were many moms at the pool named Karen. If you can believe that. And the next summer came out and we wore boxers. boxers.
Because of the Karens.
So that's my little story about Speedos. Anyway, I don't know how we got there.
good story.
It's turkey season in Wisconsin. It is my very favorite time of the spring. And that is May, when the weather's starting to get a little nicer. And I have had such an incredible time turkey hunting. And it was hard for me this season.
Yeah.
Just finished my first season of turkey hunting, and I finally got one. I had the chance to hunt with our chef, Ellie Lawton. I had the chance to hunt with Megan Salazar, who is with us today, and I'm really excited to talk about that because she and I hunted. I was up at 2:45 this morning getting ready for that hunt, and we're going to talk about that hunt. But before I go any further, I want to highlight for you folks, if you don't understand the joy we have and the privilege it is to have a designated French culinarian and a certified chef for this show, Ellie Lawton is a certified French chef, and she's also the real deal when it comes to hunting in the outdoors. So we eat... honest to God, I do not know how I'm not 500 pounds and with disappearing Speedos at this point.
Okay, everyone relax. The percentage that you dine with me is not going to impact your weight. So whatever you all do outside of me feeding you, that is your problem, not mine.
You need to get defensive about the fact that you cook such awesome food.
I'm sorry I blew up.
And we eat like 3 servings of the food when you make it.
Yes, it's fantastic. Full. I'm really excited to talk about today's recipe because it incorporates, I mean, if I don't know if it does. I'm guessing it's going to incorporate the wild turkey that Chef Lawton harvested herself 2 days ago. We also have George Ermert here, a common friend of the show. George's is
best
part,
friend.
Well, you gotta say it the right, no, no, you got to say it the
best
right
friends
way.
Forever.
No, you got to say it the right way.
George's
George
best
is
friend.
Joel's best friend. George thinks Joel's his best. I don't know.
You have George, to say it
George,
the right
why
way.
Don't you clear, clear that up?
I am
buddies.
Joel's best friend.
Yes. Okay. And you're also a really good eater.
Yes,
George, I am.
And I appreciate that.
For as physically fit as George appears, he is a very good eater. You would, my mom would call you a good, you're a good eater.
She George doesn't complain time. About me making him gain weight. He eats oh. responsibly.
I do.
Okay.
He eats responsibly.
Well, my apologies for eating irresponsibly.
I'm not sorry. It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. And George is here because we just had a really quite exciting event before the show today.
We did.
We were able to unbox taxidermy that came here from Europe, from Croatia.
How did you keep it in your garage without peeking in it?
Well, because I told George I wanted it to be exciting. I wanted to be fresh off of seeing what was in the box that had come from Croatia with George here. George and I hunted Croatia yeah. together. And you got to stick around because we're going to talk about that. Jacob, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, me? I'm over the moon,
yeah,
Joel.
Yeah, Jacob looked over the shoulder. He's running a joint from the fishbowl in Racine.
He's working hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you receive any packages from Europe this week?
Yeah. No, and thankfully I haven't seen any Speedos either, so no packages or Speedos in my face this week, and I'm thinking about that.
No packages and no packages.
That's good.
And Joel, if you try to send me that package, I'm returning it to sender. So just let you know.
That's don't you worry about a thing, Jacob. We'll send you pictures of the taxidermy. That's
it was beautiful taxidermy.
I did take a video of the unboxing.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
That has to be the best piece of mail I've ever seen in my life.
It was pretty cool. And Agreed. We're going to get to that. And I can't wait to share that with you. George and I had an unbelievable time in Croatia. We were hunting Dalmatian sheep. And what I really think they are, I think they're just wild sheep on the Dalmatian coast, so they call them Dalmatian sheep, mm-hmm. basically.
There we go.
But George shot just an absolute beauty of a sheep, a real, real representative sample out there, and it was fantastic. His first real kind of big game harvested outside the United States.
Oh, was it? I did not
it's
know
beautiful.
That.
Yeah, it was a that really
That makes it even more
trip.
Spectacular. And we you guys had, got medals.
Yes, we did get medals. We're not exactly sure what the medals mean because it's in Croatian, but...
And they can mean whatever you want them to mean.
I think they mean...
World's greatest shooter.
I was going to say they probably mean best friends.
I was just going to say, I think they're not medals. They're best friend necklaces.
That's funny because my medal said most handsome hunter. I don't know.
You got George's.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's get
Danielle and I are on fire tonight. Yeah,
you
watch out.
Definitely not nothing.
Get your buckets
sure.
of water ready.
Okay, so Weekly
boy.
Wisco is
let's
obviously.
Get to our Weekly Wisco. My Weekly Wisco happened this morning. Megan Matthews and I. So Megan is part of the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association. And Megan, I've known Megan for more than a year now, and she's part of a women's hunting group that I'm actually a part of as well. I joined it because I wanted to be a supportive member of this, the fastest growing segment of new hunters in Wisconsin and the United States is women aged 18 to 45. And I think we need to foster that. And Megan and I got to know each other. And Megan had never harvested a male turkey before. Now, I'm going to tell you, this was my turkey hunting week. And I have been busting my ass out there in the woods trying to kill a big turkey. And, you know, Danielle and George.
Did you use my trick that I told you last week from Josh?
I tried every trick in the book, but I will tell you something happened while turkey hunting
that
has never happened to me with a shotgun before in my life.
No.
Yep. It's not dangerous. George, do you have a guess? Megan, do you have a guess?
You missed.
I missed.
No, you did
yes,
not.
Yes, I did.
You don't miss.
I missed. Yes, I did. So for all of you out there who get out there and you miss and you beat yourself up about it, don't do it. Everybody misses.
Oh, absolutely.
If you don't miss, you're not actually a hunter.
Hey, but I'm in that club this year, too.
You missed, too, this year.
I sure did.
Yes, you did. You missed.
I missed
you missed
the whole time.
You did. You missed the bearded hen.
Yeah, Danielle, we don't have to talk about last year. Okay?
Danielle, was it last year?
We're going to leave the Danielle, past in the past.
Danielle and Ellie and I hunted together in the fall last year.
And I could, you know what? I would have been better off just hitting her with a stick. She was so nice and close.
I'm sorry to open up that wound.
Oh,
again. I'm
no,
sorry.
That's okay. That is still a wound.
I don't, come on.
No, it's
Listen,
not.
I think Ellie, Chef Lawton, you get one miss a year because your food is so good that covers for the one
I
miss.
I covered it for you. So I'm going to be getting myself back on track.
So Megan, I said that Megan was like, hey, let's hunt. Do you, can
well, it was good
spots.
That you missed.
What? Yes, because
we
were
yeah,
because
we had
together.
The perfect textbook hunt this morning, and had he not missed, he wouldn't have been able to shoot this morning with
That's
me.
That's a fact. That is a fact. So take us, I want to, Megan's never harvested a male bird before. Take me through what was going through your mind and how that hunt went.
Well, I mean, I guess we have to start with Saturday when we saw that absolutely beautiful Tom that just would not jump the ditch.
Yeah,
that's right. We did
a Saturday
Megan
hunt.
And I and Ellie hunted Saturday. We had a Tom come right to the fence line, but wouldn't come onto the property that we had permission on.
Oh, no. Of course it wouldn't.
It was 20 huge. Yards away, but we couldn't shoot it. Yes. It was on someone else's
I feel
else's
like that's
property.
Like one of the pivotal moments for every hunter, because Josh and I have experienced that too. They were just right on that ridge line, just right there.
Just
so tempting
line.
To cross it, but you don't can't.
But you know what? You'd regret it so much if you shoot it on permission you don't have.
You don't want to
It changes the whole entire experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. However, he was very cool to watch.
It was, we had a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we guys were talking about how you can hear the difference between the Jake and the Tom.
Yeah. So that happened this morning.
That was this morning. Okay.
Yeah. So when we walked in, we sat down. What time were we in the blind by? Like,
oh, I think by five. No, heaven's sakes. We were in there by 4:40.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty early. It was pretty dark.
Yeah, because by 5:15, it was bright out. It was already light, bright out. I mean, shooting time this morning was like 4:45. It was real early.
Yeah, so we heard some gobbles, and then we heard some more, and you could tell the difference between the Jakes and the Toms, so we were just trying to see what's coming out first.
So are the Jakes more high-pitched?
Yeah. It's not a hard and fast rule, but usually the Toms are more of a... and then the Jakes are more of a...
Yeah,
I mean,
just like that.
Okay,
not very
nailed
much
it.
Like
yep.
that.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Clearly,
everyone can successfully do that now after your demonstration.
Well, I would shake off my headphones if I did.
I can't do it.
But so we definitely heard the higher pitched Jakes. I said, "There's Jakes," and if they all come together, we're counting to three. And I can't wait to tell you how that sorted out for Megan and me. This is Raised in Wisco.
Go.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for the great outdoors in the great state of Wisconsin, and the great radio conglomerate Civic Media allows you to listen to Raised in Wisco throughout the state on 21 stations. Danielle, where can they catch the show if they miss it live on Saturdays at 11?
If you miss it live on Saturdays at 11, you can see our beautiful faces on our Facebook feed. Give us a like right there when you watch our Reels, and then you can go to listen to us on Spotify. You can listen to us on YouTube, and then as well as Apple Music.
Yeah, so check us out. And we got Jacob in the Fishbowl and Racine helping us out here in Concord, Wisconsin at WFSH. And it is awesome because I know we're running ragged because we're trying to pack so much into one show.
Yes.
Megan Salazar is here with us. George from the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. Of course, our certified French chef, Ellie Mae Lawton, is here. She's going to talk about a fantastic recipe and chime in, I hope, for some turkey hunting stories. the comedic stylings of Ellie Mae Lawton.
Very true.
We left you with the birds gobbling and talking about the difference between a Jake and a Tom. Now, for those of you who may not know, a Jake is a one-year-old male turkey. And in some cases, a late hatch Tom or a super Jake is a Jake that was hatched late the previous year. Maybe the hen's eggs got eaten earlier and she relayed them. And those birds that were tiny, tiny, tiny that fall, they're a year and a half now. And they've got like maybe 5 or 6 inch beards. So they're not full-blown Toms, but they're not really Jakes anymore. And we heard these gobbles coming from far off, and we were sitting in a corridor where, and I have to be honest, I don't hardly ever sit with anybody that they see the animal first.
Unless you're with Megan.
It happened on Saturday, too.
Oh, this is very exciting. I'm loving this even more.
Megan is like, why are you loving it?
Because
someone's doing better than me at hunting, Danielle.
Because you are superb at everything you do.
Joy in my pain. Is that what's
are you in pain?
No.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of turkey hunting, I feel like I'm on that turkey hunt with you two last fall when you want to stop fighting.
Wow.
I can't wait for our turkey hunt again.
I can't wait either.
That's going
to
be fun.
Do I get to come to that one?
Absolutely.
Good, because someone has to referee.
We'll see how the rest of the show goes.
We'll see if Danielle and I let you come.
That's probably more accurate.
Okay, so continue.
So Megan says, we're kind of in a corridor, and Megan, for the third or fourth time, says, there's a turkey.
Third or fourth time?
Yeah.
We hunted a few
and
times
I said,
already.
Give there's me your binoculars. Turkey.
And here they were. And Megan, the beauty of taking Megan on this hunt, she's never killed a male turkey before. So I have a chance to be with her when she's experiencing a real milestone. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool thing.
It's awesome.
And she's, you know, she's pie-eyed, and we're just trying to get a glimpse at these things. And you even saw, tell them what you saw behind the turkeys.
Ooh. A Tom. He didn't want to come out of the woods.
Of course.
And he just kind of hung back on the hill. So we waited just to see what they were going to do, and they came straight to the decoys. I mean, they took a little their sweet old time to get there, but yeah. They came, and then they were on top of the decoys, and they were on top of each other.
Yes.
So we had to wait. We had to wait a while.
Well, it is spring, so.
And, well, they are, Jakes are kind of like high school boys. That's the way I describe
them. Yeah, they are teenage boys.
Yeah, they're like teenage boys. They run around in a pack. They do not separate from each other, and they're always pushing each other.
Like yeah,
pushing,
I believe, yep.
That's punching exactly each what other, happened.
And they're kind of boxing each other out. And so I said to Megan, all right, listen, we're going to do this. I'm going to count to three. We're going to shoot on three. Mm-hmm. But the biggest problem, the toughest part of hunting like this is you have to make sure they're separated enough, because when you shoot with a shotgun, hundreds of BBs come out, and you can very easily kill two with one shot. And they were bunched up. I mean, holy cow. They were bunched up like the doorway at Best Buy on Good Friday.
Black Friday.
Black Friday. Not Good Friday.
They should have
Friday.
Sales on Good Friday, too.
Yeah, they should.
Really good one.
So we're sitting there, and I how long did we have our guns
did
up?
Did you just get that?
I did.
like at least 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Yeah. We sat there with guns ready at least 10 minutes. And
at one point they did separate, but then they moved all of a sudden too, because I had to tell you no.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was going to do the count. They moved, and so I was going to do the count, but I was looking at the turkey I was going to shoot at. Yep. It was separate enough. And she said no, because they all had their head down, and she wouldn't really have had a decent shot at one. So we waited longer again.
Yep.
And then finally, I said, you got that one ISO'd? There was one to the left, one to the right. I was on the right.
Luckily, they were the two biggest in the group, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They were the two biggest. There's no doubt about that. So I counted, and I've never had it go that well. I said, 1, 2, bang. And it sounded like one
shot. We blew up the pilot light on the heater that we didn't even use. It was such
That's
a beautiful
cool.
morning.
Yes, yes. We blew the pilot light out on the heater. The gunshots did. And we both shot at the same time, perfect ethical shots, and those turkeys were down.
Oh,
and
that's
that
wonderful.
Was awesome. Then we took some beautiful pictures and had
well,
fun.
Congratulations on your time.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's
yeah,
fabulous.
How does it feel? How does it feel to know that you just, for the first time, killed a beautiful male turkey?
Well,
for the
I told
first
you,
time.
Why didn't you guys convince me to do this sooner?
Yeah, what have I been doing this entire time shooting
right?
Dustin?
Such a what have you been doing?
Eating your food?
Get no, all you've
been, I've been on several hunts with you, and you are a really good shot. You hardly ever miss.
It was just turkey wasn't
you've been
anything
shooting,
I grew up with.
You've well, been shooting ducks and pheasants like crazy.
Well, it was a privilege to be able to take you on your first hunt ever. It was a picture-perfect morning, beautiful sunrise.
That's
we got
wonderful.
To take some nice pictures and throw a couple of big old turkeys in the trunk of the car. Now, I took the Jake fan, and I fanned it out and put borax on it to preserve it to use for a future decoy setup. And the neighbor dog already this same day took it out of my garage and took off.
I hope you get sick from the borax.
Actually, well, I'm a nervous. I hope he doesn't get sick.
We're picking
either.
Up what you're putting down.
But a little frustrated about that. I had the most beautiful turkey fan for a future decoy, and it disappeared thanks to the neighbor dog.
I plucked mine.
Did you?
Yes,
really?
I did. I plucked it, and then I broke it down.
Well, that will be
intriguing.
Because
I wanted to leave the skin on to see what happened.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that sounds, I'm very excited to talk about that. I can't wait to talk about the food we're going to talk about. And I'm really excited because George Ermert is here. George and I, George is a member of the board of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. He is a friend of mine. We are hunting together. Coincidentally, George killed his first turkey when I took him turkey hunting. So,
coincidentally.
Coincidentally with Megan.
That's what best friends do.
Yeah. That is what best friends do.
They make memories together.
Does that mean we're best friends now?
What's that?
Does that mean we're best friends now?
I guess Aww. It does. I guess we're all
well,
best
what about
friends.
Danielle and I? Because this morning you told me in front of Megan that we were best friends. And you told Danielle you were best friends. So we're
Wait,
trying to figure out what's going on.
We're best friends too?
Well, of course, Danielle. We've been best
I'm
friends
I'm like the
for
OG
decades.
Best friend, though.
That's right. We're all best friends, and producer Jacob's going to be my best friend, too. I can't wait to talk about Croatia. We're going to talk about food there. We're going to talk about mounts that came back, what a pain in the rear that is. And you are joining us on Raised in Wisco. Raised in Wisco. My name is Joel Clayfish. I am joined by the hostess with the mostest, Danielle Fairman, and part of our Hello. Regular cast, the certified French chef, Ellie Mae Lawton, who is very responsible for giving us pretty phenomenal food, bringing it to the show
yes.
every week. I mean, it's a little bit of a ridiculous bar you've set there, Chef Lawton. Do you know that?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, okay. Here's a compliment.
What do you got?
I was never confident in the kitchen. Like I need a recipe.
Yeah.
Never had staples, whatever. Mm-hmm. I actually feel better about my kitchen skills.
Good. And yes. you should. You make very delicious food for us.
Of course, Pinterest helps.
That
but
is true.
Pinterest is wonderful.
Part of the beauty of it is though, she's had the training and mm-hmm. gone through the courses and we get to just learn it.
We do.
And
free.
Megan Salazar.
And you get my special twist on all of it.
And we get a special twist on it. And what one of the cool things is we do a lot of fusion. And I think this week's kind of a fusion, at least it's a fusion between kind of a Mexican, American, and wild game. So that was harvested this past week. So mm-hmm. that's going to be really exciting to listen to. On Raised in Wisco, once in a while, the show is about Wisconsin and about how fantastic Wisconsin is. But we talk about taking it outside of the box from time to time. And that's why my friend George Ermert is here. George is a board member of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. We are working closely together to try to pass a sandhill crane hunting season state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we're doing it with the Wisconsin farmer in mind, making sure that the farmers are made whole from the crop damage that cranes are causing. And of course, to those crane lovers out there, we are also crane lovers.
Absolutely. And yeah,
we want to make sure that that species is proliferated throughout the state. And with, as with anything in conservation, the balance is the key.
It is.
And if they become overpopulated and do economic and farm damage, there is room for harvest of those animals to put on your table and to use as a resource in Wisconsin. So George and I are working on that. But before we started our venture working together on that, George and I headed to Croatia.
Ooh.
Together. It was George's first out-of-the-country hunt, and it was the first of mine with George. And we had an unbelievable time. George.
We had an awesome time. I mean, let's just be honest. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
You guys hadn't hunted before Croatia?
We hadn't hunted outside of the United States together before. I had the honor and privilege of being at George's side when he shot his first turkey, which was pretty darn exciting as well. But I got to tell you, Croatia is, I think it's a hidden secret. It really is. George, what did you think about when we got there and we first started got to explore Croatia?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's stunning. It looked nothing like what I expected. I mean, being a former,
what did you expect?
Well, being a former communist country, I was expecting it to be very gray, very, you know, gray buildings and blockish, just not beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it was the opposite of that. It was stunning. It had a Mediterranean feel. The food was fantastic, and the people were beyond perfect.
Aww.
Yeah, the people were
perfect.
So
wonderful. First trip for you, then.
Out of all the countries I've been to in Europe, I would say Croatia is my favorite.
Wow. Yes. How long were you guys gone for?
We were there a week, and the beauty of this trip was it really feels like the Amalfi Coast in Italy. So it's right across a channel from Italy, and it feels very much like Italy. It's very Mediterranean. The food's Mediterranean, lots of olive oils, you know, the sardine fish, a lot of meat with olive oil, a lot of olive tapenades, and oh my gosh, it was fantastic. The food was fantastic. We spent
the best food I've ever had in Europe was in Croatia.
Yeah.
Better than Italy.
I
will say it. It was better than Italy.
What was your favorite thing that you ate there?
The seafood. Sardines in particular.
Sardines?
They're not like sardines. They're like sardines here.
No, they're not like here. I mean, you're popping them in your mouth like they're chips. They're delicious.
Gosh. We had such they are delicious. We spent about half the trip in the city of Zadar, which is a medium-sized city right on the coast with one of the oldest churches in all of Europe. There was a church built there in 300 AD.
Wow.
So 300 years after Jesus walked the earth, this church was built. And it was just beautiful. Zadar was absolutely glorious. The food was unbelievable. The Mediterranean, they have their own style of gyro that was to die for on their homemade flatbread. Unbelievable. Then
you're really good at selling this.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you.
Are you booking trips now?
It was indescribable. And then we went to an island off the coast of Croatia called Dugi Otok. And
that's fun.
It's fun to say, and it was even more fun to be there. And our guide, who was just one of the, Marco was his name, a Croatian guy named Marco. He was so fantastic and so wonderful to spend time with. And I want George to tell his story of us sighting in the rifles and George's experience.
I love this story.
Because this is kind of epitomized the whole trip of the hunting portion for us.
This is a great story.
So, you know, I had never been on one of these big game hunts. Mm-hmm. And I had asked Joel before we left, well, do I have to go to the range and practice? And he's like, no, you know, you're used to shooting white-tailed deer. You'll be fine. Okay. So we get there and the first night, you know, and the guide Marco is like, you know, we go out and, you know, test gun. We want you comfortable. That's how Marco, I love that's, your that's how Marco that's sounds. That's always sounds in my head. Okay. And so we drive our little Toyota Hilux out on the fire roads, and we're in the mountains and desert. And he takes a picture of this rock out in the desert and shows us to it on his camera. And he goes, "You shoot," and it's 400 meters away.
This yeah. rock right here.
Yeah. So I'm like, "Wait, where is this? What? I can't see it." So Joel gets up first. Joel shoots, and he's like a little right. Joel takes a click to dial it in. Little right again. Clicks it one more time. And he is right on, nailed awesome. The rock. Right in the middle.
Good job.
That yeah, doesn't surprise
shot,
me.
Three yep. shots. I mean, pretty good bullseye. Shot. So I get up. And I struggle. I'm like, where is this thing? I'm looking at the scope. And he's like, "No, here, here." And so I shoot. And Marco right away says, "No.
No.
Not close." And I shoot again. And he says, "No, way off." And then I shoot again. George. And Marco says, "I can't even see it." So I am feeling very embarrassed and I'm mad because I'm like, Joel, you know, I didn't think I was going to be shooting 400 yards. And now I came all the way out here. I'm not even going to shoot anything. So I'm feeling real sad. Yeah, I was sad. Aww. Very embarrassed. And so I get back in the truck. He's like, "Do you want to shoot again?" And I'm like, "No." And so Marco goes to me. He goes,
"There, there.
Don't worry. We will find a close one."
Aww. Attaboy, Marco.
So making me feel better. So I'm sitting in the back seat sulking of the Toyota Hilux. And we're driving on these fire roads, just, you know, glassing for sheep. And we turn a corner. And there is a beautiful, you know, very old Dalmatian sheep. Ram.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just standing right in the middle of the fire road.
Oh, perfect.
You know, probably about 100 yards from us. And so we stop.
More like 50.
Yeah. Obviously, you're really good
at it. What a man is 50, all right? He's on the rough
side. Feel a little rough down here.
It's my story right now.
That's fine.
And so Marco sees it, and he puts up his binoculars, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, that is a nice one. Someone needs to shoot it." And everyone right away goes, "George, you're up."
George.
So I get out and, you know, very quietly get out of the truck and basically just stand next to the truck and, you know, take a shot and down the sheep.
And that's exciting.
Well, it was very exciting. Very
exciting.
I mean, it didn't, you know, it was an easy recovery. Because it didn't fall down the mountain.
We That's
didn't have
nice.
To, we didn't have to drag it up. Yeah. It was right there.
See you later, George. Good luck.
But, you know, what I didn't realize is, you know, that with the anatomy of these things, the kill zone is actually much smaller than on like a white-tailed deer.
Sheep are not huge.
No.
They're not big animals.
No. So you have to be very precise. And it was, but I was, you know, like any time you harvest something for the first time, your adrenaline's pumping. I was shaking.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I was absolutely shaking.
That's and how you know you're supposed to be hunting.
Yeah.
Until you lose that shake, then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Don't ever lose that shake. That's mm-hmm. right. Don't ever lose that nervousness. That is a fact.
I had it this morning.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was hard Good. Walking out. Hey. I mean, granted, we were carrying 20-pound birds out too, and it was a lot more, but I was like, "Oh, I'm kind of winded now." Yeah.
I had it this morning too. And when you lose that, it's time for you to retire your hunting boots. Mm-hmm. I'll absolutely. Tell you that. That moment, so George got his sheep in the mountains of Croatia on an island in Croatia. And imagine the sun setting in the background, mm-hmm. cast upon the jagged rocks of a mountain with the Mediterranean Ocean behind you and wow. setting up the pictures. It
Sounds
couldn't
like a dream.
Have been mm-hmm. a more beautiful. It's hair-raising, I'll be honest.
Looking back, I mean, we were there almost a year ago now.
Yep.
And incredibly lucky. To have that experience. And I will tell all the listeners out there, don't pass up experiences like this because that is what life is for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
this is I have a great story to tell and now I have a great piece of taxidermy to remind me of this wonderful experience I have with my best
that's
friend,
right.
Joel.
It's beautiful.
Nice little slip right in there. And that's why we're bringing this up, because you did the wonderful unboxing today.
That's yes. right. We did. We actually received our... trophies from Croatia. I had a mouflon sheep that I shot at 375 yards over there. And
wow.
that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, not to brag, right, Joel?
Right.
Yeah.
right.
George, yours was 100 yards. That's good.
Okay. You should be proud of yourself. I received a box about 3 weeks ago, and I told George I wouldn't open it until today. We had a fantastic meal ahead of time, ahead of the show, and then we unboxed it. And the taxidermy from Europe, they do a very nice job. And George's sheep, his Dalmatian sheep, was in there, and it looks absolutely beautiful. And I can't wait for him to put it on the wall. And I want to say, I want to just take a minute. You know, life is short. We're not here on this spinning marble for very long. And you're never going to be on your deathbed and say, I'm glad I didn't do it. And life is about experiences. And I'm going to tell you, when you talk about Europe or you talk about other countries, so many people say, I can't afford it. The reality of it is you can live over there. The cost of a day of living over there is about the same as it costs us to live in our house. Personally, here, you can do Airbnbs for $79 a night. Go have those experiences, because at the end of the day, what George was talking about, and I've heard each person in this room say it. I've heard Megan say it, Danielle. I've heard you talk about it, Ellie. I've heard you talk about it. Life is about experiences, not things.
It is,
and you're never going to regret an experience. So make sure that you do get out there and make that kind of thing part of your life. And that's what Raised in Wisco is about, helping you understand that life does not happen on a 3x5-inch screen in your palm. And I know I get a little harpy from time to time, but put the damn phone down sometimes. Yes. I can tell you, sitting here in this chair, that every single person on this panel, every regular on this show, and every guest who is sitting here today, I have had experiences that the best videos on TikTok or the best pictures on Instagram could not even touch.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. And you can look on the 3x5 to get the ideas of where to go, but then that's it. Go out there and experience it.
I am grateful that you and Danielle take pictures, though, sometimes, because we all know I'm really terrible at that.
You are. Yes.
I hate my phone so much. I want a flip phone.
I want to throw my phone. I wanted to throw my phone into the Mediterranean Sea that day, because when the experience we had in the food, and for me, it is all about food. And one of the exciting things, Marco, I said, all right, now let's get the meat out of this sheep. And he looked at me, we don't eat them. And
what?
I thought, what?
Well, you mean don't eat them?
They don't eat the sheep there when they kill them. What? They don't eat them.
Well, we eat everything.
Well, I cannot wait to tell you what we did with that sheep and how we may or may not have changed Marco's mind.
You
promise.
You leave us hanging like this?
We're going to leave you hanging. That's what we do on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Raised in Wisco is your place to learn about the great outdoors of Wisconsin. Especially, it is your place to learn how to cook and eat. Because at the end of the day, what is Raised in Wisco?
A cooking show.
Come on, you guys.
Why are you guys leaving us hanging?
Why would she not get excited? She's the chef.
I know. I could feel the happiness radiating off of her.
George and I were in Croatia. We shot sheep, Dalmatian sheep, on the Dalmatian coast. And the guide tells us we don't eat them. So I said, wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong. Please cut the meat off that sheep and bring it to me.
Yes.
And I will show you. We don't eat. It's disgusting.
Disgusting?
Sometimes we make into dog food.
No.
Dog food. We will make into dog food. That's it. Ugh. So I took that sheep and I prepared it in a similar way that I prepare almost everything that everyone will love to eat, and I'll make it quick. And that is, I put it in a pot, though. I didn't have a crock pot. I put it in a regular pot, filled it with water, and I put Ivar in it, which is it's one of their sauces. I just threw it in with the water, and I made it over noodles with a sherry cream sauce. And and Marco said, I will try it. Well, three full plates later, he said,
good job, Joel.
I will never throw this away.
Wonderful.
I'll never waste this again. I will cook it like this at my house.
So now you have to go back to make sure that he is eating it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Marco couldn't believe that that was sheep.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it.
He couldn't believe it.
Wow. It was delicious. And speaking of delicious, the cooking segment of the show.
Ooh.
And holy cow, did we eat some good food today.
We had great food.
This past week was Cinco de Mayo. So I think, was that kind of the inspiration for you today?
Well, actually, Megan and I were going to make a Croatian menu for tonight, but we ran out of time. So we changed it to Cinco de Mayo inspiration.
Perfect.
And
I'm not mad.
Joel, your recipe is actually the star of the meal tonight.
Oh, that is not even true.
Yes, it is. You have to talk about it.
Well, we decided on wild turkey.
Wild turkey birria tacos.
Yes, birria tacos, kind of the latest rage in Mexican food.
The French dip of tacos, if you will.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to say it.
Yes.
I was saying the Philly cheesesteak of tacos, but it's much more a French dip.
Oh, we didn't dip ours. We did a pour over.
Yeah, we did a pour over.
Birria.
It's kind of like a flyover, but it's a pour over.
It was a pour over. It was great.
I made the protein. I made the turkey that Chef Lawton shot 2 days ago.
Yep.
I cooked it in my standard way in a crock pot, water to the top, add your seasonings, add some oil, add some lemon juice, and just let it go till you can pull it apart, re-stir it, and you can use that for anything.
It was so good.
Chef Lawton, take it from there, because I was a little leery about turkey tacos. Chicken tacos, ooh, yes, but turkey tacos, I was a little leery.
Well, George, you might agree with this. Wild goose and wild turkey could be in the same category.
Absolutely.
But I know you have recently had your mind changed about wild goose.
100% I have.
So,
like from bad to good or good to bad?
From bad to great.
Oh,
yeah,
fantastic.
Good. So did you think the turkey was good tonight?
Fantastic.
See, Joel.
We're blowing George's mind with wild game. He's becoming a very serious hunter. And he's now, as my Italian mom would say, a very good eater.
Very good eater.
Okay, so for assembling the birria tacos, we did it on Blackstone because we all like to eat a lot. So we filled the entire griddle
yes,
with corn tortillas. First, we put some olive oil on the Blackstone, medium heat. Corn tortillas, laid them flat, let them warm up a little bit so they could be a little bit pliable so they didn't crack when we folded them. Covered them in a Mexican cheese blend, put some of Joel's fantastic shredded wild turkey on them, folded them over, and then the leftover au jus, we can call it, or birria.
Sure, which is just basically the broth that's left after you cook it.
We just dumped that over the tortillas and then let those puppies cook on the griddle until they were crispy on both sides. And then we had a right wing sauce crema with it and cilantro and onions and some fresh garden salsa that I preserved last summer.
Well, Chef Lawton, I want you to talk about a crema. I think some people, when they hear crema, they get a little intimidated, but really
it's just a thin sour cream. So we took...
It's what?
A thin sour cream.
We
took sour cream, lime juice, added some of the Sonora Provider Spice and right wing sauce. That was it.
Which is basically buffalo sauce.
Yeah, buffalo sauce and Sonora Provider Spice is very similar to like a taco seasoning.
Yeah. And
Megan's got something to add to that.
Well, this morning I had pizza when I got back and I made a...
This morning you had pizza?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was shaping up for 10 hours since
3 o'clock
that's true,
in the morning.
That's true.
I made a right wing aioli. Which is kind of like
we've done that before. Yeah.
The thinned out mayo.
Yes, correct.
That sounds delicious.
Yep. And that is really good. Danielle, you made that with your gator a while back.
I did.
Yeah.
What do you remember? I don't forget
a good meal.
Aw.
I don't either.
Yeah, so we enjoyed those tacos. I think we all had a couple.
And I had three.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely fantastic. I think the key to this recipe, as simple as it is, and I think people are going to be very surprised how delicious it is for how simple it is. But you're really, and I don't mean to belittle the beautiful term birria,
birria
tacos, but they're really kind of corn quesadillas.
Really. Yeah, they are.
They're corn quesadillas.
They're quesadillas, but traditionally you would dip the tortilla shell before you start to assemble it. And then we, of course, dipped it into the leftover stock or broth stew.
Consommé.
Yeah, but it's not a true consommé.
Well, that's because you're a true chef. But
so why are we using corn instead of flour?
Oh, that's the key to the recipe.
Yes, it is. I mean, you can certainly use flour if you want. However, if you dip it, it may become a little bit mushy. Oh, the corn is a little bit hardier, so it'll kind of absorb the juice, but also crisp up along the edges, which is
exactly
you,
what you
want it crispy. Like I've had them before where they just weren't on the griddle long enough, and it's just not as pleasant. I want it crispy. I want the cheese to start to like come out and burn a little bit.
Absolutely.
That's
the part.
The best.
It is.
And I think the corn tortilla really, it adds this kind of sweetness. There's a little mild sweetness to the corn tortilla that enhances the flavor. We stacked them with chopped onions, cilantro, avocado.
Yeah.
And then you squeeze them back in there and eat them. And that crispy bite you get on the outside, the texture of that and the mouthfeel of that, and then you dig into that chewy, juicy center. And there is very little that you can think about other than that delicious taco. And tacos are
very little room in the mouth.
But I will tell you, although tacos are simple, this recipe can have as many flavors in it as you want. Be creative out there. When you hear what we talk about, try it at home. Our biggest joy is hearing that those of you out there listening are experiencing the outdoors and the culinary things we talk about. We love it. We love being part of your life. We love that you're a part of Raised in Wisco. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.